It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielso Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
KSL's unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's a Friday edition of KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell on the road this evening. Congratulations to Scott Mitchell, who has a new grandbaby today. We're very excited for Scott, and that's why he's not with us tonight, hanging out with his daughter, who just had their first baby and his first grandbaby. So we're very excited about those things. And Scott, the big giant baby that he is, of course, sent me a ton of pictures and totally cried. And I'm so happy for the guy because he's just been waiting on this for months now and couldn't stop talking about it. Mitch Harper, Cougar Sports Saturday host galore, BYU expert galore, KSLSports.com. You can read his bylines all there. Mitch, thanks for hanging out on a Friday, man.
Yeah, Alex, I'm excited, man. It's going to be a fantastic Friday evening with you. So I'm always happy to be in this chair, be here in the studio. It's great. It feels good. It feels normal again.
Yeah, taking in some Eastern Conference semifinals right now with Ben Simmons and the Philadelphia 76ers. Joel Embiid and the 76ers up 12 right now on Atlanta, in Atlanta. They could take a 2-1 lead in that series if Trae Young can't pull his team out of this one. But the big story, of course, is that the Utah Jazz are up 2-0 on the L.A. Clippers after last night's Game 2 win. Another exceptional game by Donovan Mitchell. That's where we're going to start things off here, the 705 Cut. Let's do it.
The Cut at 705. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED? Sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. So excited about that Game 2 win. And this is where you make yourself, I think these are the moments that have made the Jazz. You're going to be able to win in the Western Conference Finals by the experiences that you have against this Clippers team, I think. Not just coming back in Game 1 and getting a win there. How about having a 21-point lead, a massive rally from the Clippers, and the Jazz are able to stave that off? I think those moments, Mitch, are the type that keep the Jazz getting better. You want to be at that peak level in the playoffs. You want to keep getting better. I know it's all cliche. You want to gel in the playoffs. And that's exactly what the Jazz are doing right now. And on top of it, they have the superstar in Donovan Mitchell, who is absolutely stealing this show.
Well, and it feels like, too, Alex, that anything the Clippers throw at the Jazz have an answer. I mean, they can have these big runs and make it close, but then the Jazz come up big. And it's not just because the amazing atmosphere at the Viv. I mean, I just think this Jazz team, they are the best team in the Western Conference for a reason, and I think that's why they're the team to beat out West. And there's just a confidence about them. They're still doing this with, you know, just the performances right now with Joe Ingles not shooting the ball as well as you'd like to see, but it's like he's still getting up his shots. This offense is still humming at a pace that you wanted them to do in the playoffs, that they were showing in the regular season. What we saw in the regular season from this Jazz team is carried over in the playoffs, and I think that's a great sign going forward as the run continues now going to L.A.
Mike Conley, of course, being out and still getting those two wins. What a massive boost of confidence. And Joe Ingles getting 19 last night. Jordan Clarkson goes without saying that the guy's three-pointers have been huge. Donovan Mitchell talking about this team stepping up. Of course, he has had these two exceptional games, 45 points in Game 1, 37 in Game 2. Here's what he said about the rest of the team and their ability to step up.
What, I make one shot in the fourth quarter and like two in the second half? Like, I think for me, it's like I don't feel like I have to go out there and do everything. You know what I mean? And I think that's a credit to the teammate, my teammates, you know, credit to what we guys we have on this team, because they can go out there and make plays. Everybody's elevated their game each year.
I think you look at the Jazz, they're cohesive right now. They're playing playoff basketball. I don't think the entire Memphis series, maybe that closeout game when they were just really leading that thing, it was no doubt. You didn't really see playoff basketball in there. And I was really glad to see that, not just that there's an atmosphere at Vivint. It is just exceptional to see that the Jazz are having these games. The three-pointers that are hit are just – there's an energy that you see there from the team and from the fans and all the things that surround it. And I'm just I'm really pumped for Jazz fans to see their team go up 2-0. Now, the Clippers were down 2-0 against the Mavericks. And the Jazz have never had a playoff series that they started 2-0 that they haven't won. They've done it 8 times previously, gone up 2-0, and they've won that. This group hasn't done it. This is not a group that has been a part of that. And so it's hard to imagine, you know, that this isn't going to be a lot of pushback when they go to L.A. Does L.A. even this thing up when they go down and play at the Staples Center?
I don't think so. I think this Clippers team is continued to be overrated ever since they were assembled 2 years ago. Everyone dubbed them the instant champs because they got Kawhi and Paul George, but they haven't proven anything. Like, you know, that's always been one of the big talking points about the Jazz nationally, is what have they shown, what have they actually accomplished? Same thing goes for the Clippers. They haven't got past the second round as an entire franchise. And, you know, Paul George, he's always come up short in the playoffs. I mean, Kawhi, yes, he had that success with the Spurs and that 1 year in Toronto, but the Clippers as an organization have never accomplished anything. This is a difficult spot for them to be in. And when the Jazz are knocking down their threes and having that success, and I think that's going to carry over onto the road, because the atmosphere in Staples Center is not going to be anything near what the Jazz had at the Vivint Smart Home Arena. I think the Jazz will, you know, they'll face some adversity. Sure, they're going to have to dig in, and kind of like what the Nets had to do against the Bucks. They had a tough defensive game that they lost last night. But still, I think that the Jazz are in a great spot in this series, where I don't look at anything that the Clippers did the first two games that should be creating the Jazz to lose any sleep going forward. I think the Jazz are decisively the better team, and I don't think this is a deal where the Clippers have them where they want them. Like, no, the Mavs were a team. Wanted. Doncic was, you know, he's injured. He's an all-star. He's incredible. He's an all-world talent, but it's like, the guy's banged up all the time. That's something that's always going to be an issue for
and
the
he's
Mavs.
He's the only guy. I mean, that's the thing, is that Porzingis never has not become the guy they thought he was going to be in Dallas. Was just leaning on Luka too much, couldn't do it.
There's just such a great chemistry right now with this Jazz team, just from both on the court and off the court, even like in the social media videos that you see where, you know, Rudy's getting defensive trophy, player of the year. There's just like this great kind of rapport and chemistry. It's just far different than what they dealt with in the bubble a year ago, where they actually squandered a 3-1 lead. I think this just, there's a great vibe, there's a great feeling, and a lot of it, maybe just the credit to like the Ryan Smith on down. It's just been a great vibe in this franchise right now, and I think it's going to be a weekend with in LA that's going to serve the Jazz quite well.
Boy, you want to? I'm not saying I want the Clippers to win a game so that they can lock it out here. They've won 6 in a row. You want to just have that? The 6 in a row in the playoffs is as good as going, you know, 10 in the regular season. Yeah. It is a difficult task to do that, and I think that they found a rhythm that you're glad they found it now, and they're not, you know, it's not taking them a while to get there, because you can't have take a day off against Clippers, and then in the conference finals you can't have a struggle of a week. You know, there's no such thing, because then you're going to be eliminated. Donovan Mitchell spoke exactly to that, about how this group gets along and exactly where they are as a team and why it works so well.
The biggest thing is, man, we can do it collectively, even when shots aren't falling. And I think that's the biggest thing for us, is continuing to take it step by step. And as far as trust goes, I think we all trust each other to the maximum level. And that's why we play the way we play.
Rudy said it on SportsCenter last night too, with Scott Van Pelt. What do you see? And like, who has the green light shooting that three-pointer, and that makes it to where you guys can do it? I mean, they shot over 50% from three last night, made 20. And what did he say? He goes, pretty much everybody but myself. Like, I'm the only one that they have no confidence or a green light in being able to get this done. All right, let's take the break here. We've got some college football playoff to talk about from the Pac-12 perspective. and to the BYU perspective. Glad we have Mitch in tonight to be able to give us the view as to how BYU can get into the college football playoff if indeed it does move to that 12-team system that they've been discussing. Bill Riley is going to join us next, voice of the Utes. He's going to give us the Pac-12 perspective and how important it is for the Utah Utes to be able to have this access to the college football playoff going forward. Stay with us. More to go right here on KSL's Unrival on a Friday on KSL News Radio. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled on a Friday evening. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell on the East Coast, welcoming his first grandbaby into the world. And so Scott made the trip out, and congratulations to him and his daughter and her husband. That's first baby for them, first grandchild for Scott Mitchell. So we're excited for old Scotty. Joining us on the program right now, he's his partner in crime on the radio when it comes to calling those Utah games. The voice of the Utah Utes, Bill Riley, joining us on the program. What's going on, Bill?
Do you guys miss Grandpa Mitchell yet?
I've been trying to, like, hassle him about it, and he's like, that's one title that I will never be ashamed of. He's like,
yeah, he
I'm
was
so
all
excited.
He was texting me yesterday, and he was like, yeah, I'm going to be a grandpa.
Yeah.
He was all fired up about
the picture's
it.
Rolling in, and it's like the first time he's ever seen a baby before. But so Mitch Harper, of course, I don't know if you're familiar with Mitch. Bill, maybe this is a great time for you guys to get acquainted this segment. It might be nice.
Is that Mitch, Laker fan, Raider fan, Harper?
It's not going well for those teams either.
I've checked out on the NBA playoffs. I'm struggling to watch the Sixers Hawks game. It's like it just doesn't feel right without the Lakers. We need the big markets, right? Isn't that what we all need?
No, we do not. Is your Anthony Davis jersey, is it okay, or is it, you know, is it on the sideline? Is it hung up? Is it torn? I'm just curious.
I'm ride or die with AD. I'm ride or die with AD.
Okay, so he's very loyal. Very loyal to the Lakers. That's always good.
I'm just counting down to Space Jam at this point. That's what
that's all you have to look forward to, Space Jam, with some of your guys. That's the only starring role these guys are going to have this summer. All right, Bill, of course, the news this week in college football has been the movement on this on the front of the of what the college football playoff landscape could look like. We've always wanted an expansion, and the reports are now they're at least going to discuss that 12-team possibility. I'm sure they're going to discuss other things, but that has come up, and that's the one that looks like people could really see on the plate. And it just to me, I don't see any negative to this. Right off the bat, before we get into the impact on the Pac-12. I'm trying to find any sort of drawback, what it would be to have an expanded playoff.
Well, I don't see one, Alex. I mean, I've been a expand the playoff proponent forever. I had always thought 8, and I hadn't even really given much thought to 12. And then when it popped up, you know, a month or so ago, I thought about it, and I don't know how more college football is a bad thing. And by the way, it's 12. Let's not kid ourselves. They're just crossing the T's and dotting the I's on this thing. If they're floating 12 out there,
right,
that was a trial balloon. They were trying to see what the feedback would be, and I think 90% of it was positive. You're always going to have that 10% of people that don't want it to change. Hell, there's probably still people that want the UPI and the AP to decide our national champion. But I'm with you. I don't think there's a downside. I think it's inclusive. I think it creates more buzz. I think you're going to get meaningful games in November as people jockey for playoff position. They may not be winning their conference championship, but you're going to be jockeying to, you know, get into position to be in the playoff. I think in some cases it could cause schools to schedule up a little bit, to beef their schedule up a little bit, to maybe delineate and differentiate themselves from some other teams later in the season. So, And there's a path now for the BYUs and the G5s of the world. You know, if you have a good year and you have a year, say, like Cincinnati had last year or BYU had for most of the year last year, Coastal Carolina, you've got a chance to be a playoff team because you just have to basically fall, what are we going to say, somewhere within the top 12 to 14, and you're in good shape.
Bill, you know, the Pac-12 conference has had an issue with its image. At least the national narrative out there has been negative with the Pac-12 conference. What do you feel this does, having an expanded playoff, what does it do for the conference long term?
Well, I mean, it's going to help the conference because clearly the conference will have at least one team representing. Yep. You know, and in good years, they'll have a couple of teams in there. Hell, the SEC can probably get three or four in some years, which, by the way, I don't have any problem with. I want the best football teams out there. You know, I always was one of those Power Fives plus the top G5 team. But the more I think about it, I like what they've done. I like having the top six ranked conference champions. I like that. Hey, if you're a conference champion in the Big 12 or the Pac-12 or the ACC and you're not among the top six, well, shame on you. You don't deserve to get that automatic bid. But as far as the Pac-12 goes, I think it helps. I mean, they're going to be in the playoffs. I don't know how much this changes the ultimate narrative, at least in the short term, because Alabama's still going to be really good and Clemson's still going to be really good. But the good news about football is, you know, Alabama and Clemson and Ohio State have basically had a month to heal up between their championship game and the Final Four. Well, you got to jump right back in it now. And we know, guys, football's a violent sport. So your quarterback, your Trevor Lawrence, your Justin Fields, your Mac Jones doesn't have a month to heal up those busted ribs. He's going to have to play football in a week or two right afterwards. So I think we'll see some upsets, and that could allow a Pac-12 team to go a little bit deeper, or a favorite like a Bama or an Ohio State to get knocked off early.
And I think one of the things, too, Bill, that could help the Pac-12 potentially, I'm curious to get your thoughts, is that keeping recruits in the Western region. I mean, you look at all these quarterbacks, they're going to the SEC, like Bryce Young's at Alabama and DJ Uiagalelei, he's at Clemson. It's just like this, I feel like, can help the Pac-12 keep their talent at home, which is going to help Utah, probably help USC, and maybe make a more powerful conference, I would like to think.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're right, Mitch. I think those guys have gone east because they want a chance to play for a national championship. And you might win a conference championship at USC or Washington or Oregon, but nobody sniffed it outside of Oregon and Washington. They're the only two playoff teams we've seen. So I think you're right. I think that might hedge it. I think really what will ultimately hedge it, and this is always the case in recruiting, is teams doing well. You know, if you're Utah and you make the playoffs 2 out of 5 years or 2 out of 4 years, people all of a sudden are going to be taking notice. If you're USC and doing the same thing, you know, all of a sudden maybe a couple of those 5-star kids that are from LA that were going to Alabama or Clemson or Ohio State, those guys might stay home now because they're like, wow, we always wanted to go to USC, but we always wanted to play on the biggest stage. Now we can do both.
Guys like Mitch Harper, by the way, Bill, who's like, I love all the bowl games. Give me my Poulain Weed Eater Bowl, and I'll be set on a December 17th evening. I can't stand those bowls that are throwaways. It makes bowls more important. At least you'll have this group of bowls that are going to be part of these playoffs, I think, that will be massively important. But I do think the structure of bowl games going forward is going to have to change if you've got a playoff like this, don't you think?
Well, I agree, and let's be fair. I mean, outside of Mitch's obsession with bizarre bowls like the Bahamas and Poulain and Boca Raton, I mean, most of us don't care. I mean, back when we were kids, there were 20 bowl games, not 40 bowl games. And bowl games meant a little bit more. I think I still think it's good to have some bowl games, but now you can incorporate some of them in the playoff. And I'll be honest, too, I like the idea of playing the opening round games on campuses. I think that's really cool. I think it's a great reward for a season. Can you imagine, let's just say for a second, that Utah gets in a 7-10 matchup, gets to host Florida State in mid-December at Rice-Eccles Stadium.
Yeah.
And those guys that never leave the South have to come up and play on a frigid evening in Salt Lake City. How cool would that be?
That'd be amazing.
Winter go-home setting in college football, that'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, and I think that, like, we've gotten used to the way that, you know, these bids are done. Like, you know, if there's going to be those six at-large bids, there's going to be hurt feelings of teams that should and shouldn't have gotten in, all those things. And we're okay with that in college basketball because we go, yep, it's part of the process. The human error part, I'm okay with because ranking all these teams is going to be near impossible to not upset somebody. But I don't care. It will just be so much better football to watch. So much. It would just be interesting. I just worry about those biology tests, Bill. They're going to be missing. I'm really torn up about it. I just can't believe
all
that's
those biology
argument.
Tests and, you know, those poor kids, they can't play those extra games. Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. 1AA, Division 2, yes. Division 3, NAIA, all those kids play a 16-team playoff.
Right. Basketball lasts 5.5 months. Bill Riley, he's the voice of the Utes, and breaking down what that college football expansion would look like for the Pac-12 and for those Utah Utes. Bill, thanks for hanging out with us tonight, man, on a Friday, carving some time out and filling in for Scott, the new grandpa. You're not a grandpa, are you, Bill?
No, bite your tongue. No. No. Are you Alex?
No, absolutely not. No. My heavens. All right.
I want to be one someday. Yeah. That day is not today.
Yeah. All right. Bill, we appreciate it. Have a great Friday evening and a great weekend.
Thanks, Bill.
See you guys.
Taking the break here. We'll come back. We've got news, traffic, and weather. The 76ers look like they're running away with this one in Atlanta, up by 15 right now over the Hawks in the third quarter with 2 minutes left. We'll take the break here. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL's Unrivaled on KSL News Radio. All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell gone this evening. Mitch Harper in for Scott.
Yes, sir.
And glad to have you in, Mitch. This is fun. Bill Riley was just on with us, voice of the Utes. And we're going to get into the BYU side of this new college football landscape and what it would look like. But I kind of want to get into the money part of it. When Bill was saying, here's what you're going to have to do, by the way. The process of actually being able to make it happen earlier than 2024 is a unanimous vote from the board, which I think Bill made an excellent point, which is you don't hear 12. You don't hear, here's what it would probably look like, unless they're probably there at that unanimous level. I don't know if maybe there's a rogue, provost of a school or a president of one of the schools who goes, I don't think so. We're here for the academics. And you're like, OK, Stanford, let's figure this out. We got to make sure that this is done. And I think that they're going to get that unanimous vote. Here's why. Because as they looked at this thing, a Chicago firm, Navigate, looked at the potential money that would be coming in. So the annual college football playoff right now with four teams nets about $600 million. That's just that. Those three games, right? The two semifinal games and the final. And you know, college basketball pulls in $1 billion for the NCAA. This isn't for the NCAA, by the way.
Yeah.
This $600 million is split up among all the people who are parts of these bowl committees. The teams themselves get a little cut. All these things end up being spread around, but the $600 million, according to this firm, would go up to $2 billion. That's why you're going to get a unanimous vote, and I'm okay with it. I like it because this is I can't tell you this would be my new March Madness. It would be more important than watching that tournament in March. The Super Bowl is always just one game. College football always had the potential of being extra games to actually get to a champion, and we do it at the lower levels, but the $2 billion is going to be that figure that pushes all of these presidents to actually say, yeah, we should probably do this. And you know what else it's going to do? It's going to have to force them to make a decision on the name, image, likeness as well, because that $2 billion, there's no way they're going to get away with not splitting that thing up and getting these players some extra money in their pocket as well because of the commercials that are going to have those guys on TV. I mean, how many times did you have to see when they were making that run at Clemson, Deshaun Watson's face, Trevor Lawrence, all of the quarterbacks and running backs from Alabama over the years? It is 100% going to benefit everybody involved. I do not see a negative that comes out of this. I cannot see it. The critics who come out, they have nothing to say that actually makes any sense as to why this wouldn't work.
It's pretty amazing, Alex, to think that this maybe the college football powers that be created potentially as close to a perfect system as you could possibly get. I mean, because the systems in college football have always been crooked, and you know it's a slant, and you think – they say these platitudes and they move the goalposts when it comes to the small guy. And this just feels like a great system. Even if just one group of five team can get in, which they will, because you get the six automatic highest ranked conference champions. I mean, it's just a great setup. And I'm with you. Like, I feel like that would replace March Madness as the standard for tournaments in college sports. It would be amazing.
They would probably have... Because here's how they would do it. Here's how the TV production would do it. If you've watched any of these college football playoffs where they've rolled out the rankings, as soon as they happen, it is must-watch TV for people.
Every Tuesday.
You and me, like, we're on that thing, and we're watching, and we're going, ooh, look who's number six. Oh, I can't believe they jumped up two spots. I hate these guys. And here's what it would look like. On Selection Sunday, whatever they're going to call it, and there are 13 at-large possible teams seven of them are not going to get the invite, and they're going to show them on that TV screen depressed that they didn't get in, and they're going to have the explosion of excitement for that team that was put in the 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th slot. Or, boy, I just gave – I'm already expanding it to 16. Is that bad? So I'm just saying, somebody getting into that 10, 11, 12, when they're put in there, that's going to be just as exciting as and then you start to look at the bracket and go, okay, because there is going to be a Boise State, a Western Michigan, a Coastal Carolina, Indiana, you know, getting in last year. They're a P5 team, but they're, you know, a non-traditional getting in. And then you're going to have one or two of those teams get an upset. They're going to show up when an SEC team, the fourth SEC team, might be a little bit more overrated than they thought. They go in, they are not ready for this tournament, and they get upset. And that, and then you're going to have what we have with it. You're going to have Cinderella stories. The things that you beg for, at those are the things we absolutely want during the college basketball, you know, March Madness. And so now to be able to have it at least on some small scale, imagine the day where BYU is sitting in a room with their players and they're waiting, and it says Provo, Utah in the super at the bottom, and you've got Coach Kalani Sitake talking to a player or two, and they're going, there's a peek into Kalani Sitake and his team waiting to see if they're going to be invited. Like, you know how exciting that would be. And when they get totally stiffed on not getting in, and when they get in, or that magical moment that they do get in, it is must watch TV, and it is excitement that is beyond measure. What I think, $2 billion, you can have it. You can have my advertising dollars. You can totally have it, and you can build the college football playoff, because as it is, college sports are going to struggle to hang on in the next decade. And this is going to be a thing that's going to be able to at least revive the football.
Yeah, it's huge. And I think that it's amazing how fast this is operated, because when the season ended back in January, there was no buzz about expanding the college football playoff. But coming out of a pandemic where these athletic departments have been hit hard, they want to put this into light speed mode. And it's amazing to see all the things that these powers of college sports said they couldn't, you know, make these playoffs happen, like because of tests and everything. The pandemic highlighted all of that went out the window to accommodate TV inventory. And it's like, why aren't we doing an expanded playoff when all that money is at stake and then these athletes can make money off their name, image, likeness? Yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's going to be huge for college sports. I can't wait for it. I'm stoked.
Think of having like a third round, like the – or, you know, I guess it would be like the Final Four. And that it's not – that it actually got built in by the wins that came up to that level.
It's going to be played out on
amazing.
The field.
And they're in, and then we'll be in Las Vegas covering it.
That's right.
When it shifts to the Black Pearl there. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. We got our MVPs next. You don't want to miss them. I don't know what Mitch is cooking, but it smells good. We'll see what's going on. Stay right here with us. More to go on KSL's Unrivaled.
Unrivaled. The Unrivaled MVP. Scott and Alex crowned tonight's most valuable player. According to Scott.
Uh-huh.
According to Alex. Most valuable player.
All right, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Mitch Harper sitting in for Scott Mitchell. Now, let me just tell you how... I don't know. We didn't plan this, but this is how it works. Scott Mitchell is the co-host of KSL's Unrivaled. Mitch Harper is our fill-in host tonight for him, and the host of Cougar Sports Saturday. And then Mitchell Graff runs the board.
That's a very Gregor Bell moment of you.
Oh,
play
boy.
On words. Like Mitch
the
Harper.
The triple Mitches. Yeah,
Mitchell Graff.
Yeah, Mitch Harper. You started throwing it all out there. Yes.
Very Gregor Bell of you.
You know what? I'm going to tweet it out. There'll be a stat. Tonight's the first time that a Mitch and a Mitchell have both been in the studio at the same time, while Scott Mitchell was not in
I love it.
Town. All right, so MVPs mean this. We get together and we give a fake award to real people. I had to kind of vet some of Mitch's. He was throwing out very low-quality MVPs earlier in show prep. I said, you got to step your game up, son. So I don't know what you ended up coming up with, Mitch, but roll out an MVP for me.
Well, I had to go with I went with an NBA guy, a former NBA player, who was a key role in some NBA title runs for a team that can I mention them? I mean, the LA Lakers, even though they're out,
they are definitely out. Do you remember? Wait, let me check. Yeah, they're out.
Well, something about me, Alex, that I don't know if I've ever really told you, but one thing that I enjoy watching, like, there's these little sports that outside of the big, you know, basketball, football, I like watching some of these smaller sports, and one of them is boxing. Like, I always enjoy, like, big prize fight, championship bout. I love boxing.
But I'm an F1 guy. Follow F1 racing, like, pretty religiously.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's on Sunday, so you have to do it with the religious thing. But I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I have this weird thing. I can't really jam with a lot of people on it because they don't follow it to the degree that
you don't
I do.
Talk about it much around the cooler with people. It's just it's kind of your thing.
Yes.
Boxing's kind of my thing. Like, I like to watch when it's on and kind of follow the stories about it. But a former NBA guy, Lamar Odom, is getting back into pro sports. He's going to be a boxer. It's crazy how boxing has become this now, like, celebrity Jake Paul or Floyd Mayweather's coming out of retirement, but
or another Paul or like Logan and what's the other brother? Logan and Paul,
Mitch
Paul
and Mitch and Paul Jake and Paul in boxing. And,
yes,
but Lamar Odom, he's going to be starting a boxing career, and he's going to be fighting in his first fight a former '90s pop star in Aaron Carter. So shout out to Odom. He's my MVP tonight.
How tall is Aaron Carter? I'm looking it up.
Aaron Carter is like 5'11". Lamar Odom's 6'7".
Lamar Odom's only 6'7"?
That's what he's listed as.
Well, either way, there's going to be an advantage on the reach, just a little bit. Also, is Aaron Carter like an athlete? If you've been a professional athlete, you already have the edge.
He did beat Shaq back in the day.
That's right.
That's how I beat Shaq. Shaquille O'Neal.
Hold on. Here's my thing, though. When you say he's starting a boxing career, do you mean he is training for this one fight to earn a few million dollars and then he's out?
Well, apparently he's hired Chuck Liddell to train him. So he's going UFC hybrid boxing.
Wow.
Like, he's getting all into it. So Lamar Odom apparently doing his thing. So shout out to him. He's my MVP for the night.
So now he was in the NBA, you said? Because I only knew him from Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yeah, he had a little bit of a stint with the Lakers, the Clippers, there in the NBA.
And a stint with Chloe.
That's right.
don't undersell the guy. Man, that was dark times in my life when I was watching the Keeping Up with the Kardashians that season with Lamar Odom.
I just watched the final episode, series finale this past weekend. Yeah, it's now over. Anymore.
Well, good riddance is what I say to
that.
It's stolen way too many hours of my life. Now I have to figure out a way to purge the cancer that is The Bachelor and Bachelorette series.
And it's created the whole influencer generation, so shame on
them. So bad. Okay. Okay. I've got an MVP. You ready for this? This is like a classic MVP. I don't know if you know who Laura Wilkinson is. Let me introduce you to Laura Wilkinson. Laura Wilkinson is 43 years old. She has four kids, and she is she is on the U.S. diving team.
Yeah, I don't know her. But
and she is really close to making these Tokyo games. Hmm. She was 22 when she won the gold medal already at the Sydney. She's a gold medalist.
Wow.
When she was 22 years old in the year 2000 in Sydney, she won a gold medal. And now, I mean, an entire lifetime ago, she's 43, she has four kids, and she is on the verge. She's at the Olympic trials, and she qualified this week to make those finals, and she's one step away from going and being a part of Team USA as a 43-year-old mother of four.
Wow.
Amazing. Like, you think about, because here's the thing. We see guys trying to make comebacks. Tim Tebow. Trying to make a comeback with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Tebow has got nothing on this Wilkinson lady. Laura Wilkinson is this is 20 years removed from the peak of her, and she was a gold medal winner already.
That's awesome.
She could say, "I'm not doing this. I've already won the gold. I'm just gonna. If you're a gold medalist, I wear that thing to the drive-thru. You know what I mean? Like, there is not a time in my life that gold medal doesn't come out. I'm trying to think about who I met.
Anytime I've seen Anton Apollo Ono, it's always been with a gold medal from 2002.
And, as
it should be.
That's how people – there was a silver medalist who came through. I can't even remember what it was in. But the thing was worn down to the threads because that was his identity, and people just, they wanted to see it.
Yep.
That's the thing. It's like Jason Buck's Super Bowl ring that Scott tries to steal all the time. Like, that's the thing that people want to see. They go, what's that ring? Is that your Super Bowl ring? Yes, it is. And so that's Joe Gibbs. I think that's a cool thing. She retired at 30, and she was old. That's considered old in the sport then. Because you can imagine, this is a sport like so many of these other Olympic sports where it's like, hey, if it's, I mean, you know, save like shotgun shooting and like a couple of these other ones that you go, no, that's a lifetime of really getting good at that one thing. And you don't necessarily have to have like peak athleticism to do it. This is a young person's game. This is a collegiate athlete's game where their bodies are just nimble. They don't have – and they're not worrying about their diet. They're not worried – they just are honed in on this thing. And she's 43, has four kids, and she's on the verge of the Olympics. So
that's awesome.
Congratulations to her. And like I said, could have given up, and she didn't do it. So 43 years old. I'm trying to think –
I'm so excited for the Olympics too.
I know, and I'm wondering if they're going to go off. I mean, that's the thing. I'll just say too, I feel so bad for Jeremiah Jensen from KSL5 Television. JJ's getting just absolutely jerked around with these trips. It was going to be last year, mm-hmm. and then this year they're already. I mean, to be able to go to the games this year, they have to make all these exceptions. I mean, Japan is technically closed,
yep.
and I don't know if it's going to happen, but JJ is like chomping at the bit to cover an Olympics, you know, abroad, and we are too. The Olympics, talk about sports that I usually don't care about watching. I'm a diving fan, right? Suddenly yep. I'm watching all of the volleyball matches. I'm watching all. I mean, this year now, I think baseball's back now. I think mm-hmm. we have all. So stuff is stuff that normally I wouldn't dive into. Pardon the pun. I am into it now. This is the time of year where, I mean, the Olympics not going on for the last couple of years would be a massive travesty if they cancel the games this summer again. I'd be massively disappointed. All right. Those are our MVPs. We're going to take the break here. We're going to come back. Hey, when we return, by the way, we're going to get into the BYU side of things when it comes to that college football playoff. We have an expert. His name is Mitch Harper in the house, and we're going to be talking a little bit about what this means, what the 12-team playoff could mean for BYU. How do they get in? Mitch has got a hot take on it. Stay with us right here. More to go on KSL's Unraveled on KSL News Radio.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Scott Mitchell out of town. That means Mitch Harper steps in, and we're all sorts of excited. Of course, we're watching this Philadelphia 76ers and Atlanta Hawks Game 3 right now. And Atlanta, boy, they came out hot with that Game 1. And they had a huge win there in Philadelphia. And then it's just the last game and this one, games 2 and 3, Philadelphia just kind of imposed their will on them. And with 3:35 left in the fourth quarter, Philly's up 114-100.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Alex. I'm loving that the playoffs just have all these teams that haven't won in like 40 years or
I know.
Never. It's kind of cool. Like, because you think of the NBA, it's always like LeBron or Steph Curry or the Lakers. Like, they're going to be in the mix. I got to say, like, it's pretty cool to see that every team, it could end a long drought or get their first ever. I think it's kind of a cool dynamic for the NBA. And I feel like they almost needed it because the interest in the regular season was just at the lowest levels that I've ever seen vantage point. And I feel like this is a nice kind of jolt of energy to give some new life into the playoffs and have these new teams in the mix for a title.
I know you mean well, but you know how this comes off, right? I think it's nice for your little teams to be able to sometimes win a championship here and there. I think it's nice to get some new faces.
The Lakers are
I'm
in
just
trouble.
So sick of my Lakers always winning.
AD's got to get in shape. I mean, I'm not the one. I'm not the aficionado in that department, but he's got to be in shape. His body just he's always hurt, man. I'm worried about that long term, but But I digress. So that's not what we're.
I think it's real cute. Some of these new teams. I think it's really cute. Some of these new teams.
I think it's great for the league.
It's great for the league that you little guys can go somewhere.
Jazz Suns, inject that into my veins. Let's go.
Did you? I'm glad there was actually an Anthony Davis commercial where he acknowledged the unibrow. Did you see this commercial? I was like, they were like, I mean, it's like you with your recognizable. He's all. He's like the race is the eyebrow. He's like what? He's like I don't remember what he ended up saying, but it was like they didn't want to talk about his eye. Yes, the brow is prominent. We've been talking a little bit about the college football playoff expansion. We talked about the Pac-12 side of things, and we couldn't go this show without. I mean, this is something that you and Matt Biamonte are going to talk a lot about tomorrow on Cougar Sports Saturday, noon to three. By the way, you can tune in and see what the impact for BYU will be with this college football playoff landscape. Do you think that this is going to be something that ultimately is, I mean, anybody could benefit from it because now more teams are part of a conversation. You and I had a freak out moment in the break where I said, imagine how amazing this is where the Pac-12 is going to say, hey, we got to get at least two teams in there. The SEC is going, we got to get at least three teams in on all these. A G5 champion is going to get in. And then six other teams are going to be part of that at-large conversation. And I said, imagine the year when Utah gets into the college football playoff, and it's going to be amazing. Imagine the year BYU gets into a college football playoff. That'll be a fantastic year. Imagine the year that they both make the college football playoff. Imagine the year that they that they actually get matched up against one another in the 12 team. I mean, it sounds like it'd be impossible. But the thing is now it actually is going to be on the table when they expand to 12 teams. So what does BYU have to do to take advantage of this? Because now the playing field is not level for BYU. It needs to change still for them to be able to, I think, get into a spot where they could be in the college football playoff.
Yeah, it's a difficult road because we know what the playoff committee, and we don't know how the playoff committee would look under a 12-team format, but how it's currently constructed, the committee, how they view a BYU team that plays a bad schedule, they don't think anything of them. They don't value an independent BYU that potentially runs the table with a bad schedule. So what that means is BYU's got to load up on Power 5 teams. Well, that's great, but you know, will Power 5 teams have as much of a desire to want to schedule an independent BYU in the 12-team playoff era? Because you got to think, Alex, I mean, there's a precedent with like Pac-12 teams. The last time a Pac-12 team was in the playoff was 2016. It was Washington. They were 11-1, 12-1. Their non-conference schedule was Rutgers, Portland State, and Idaho. So what I'm saying is, like, unless it's an 8-4 Power 5 champ, they're probably going to get in. And they're going to be in. They don't need to go out on a limb and travel on the road to go face a tough BYU. So I think it's a difficult road for BYU as an independent, maybe even tougher, because you have to play a ton of Power 5 teams as an independent, and you're always going to be at a deficit in terms of budgets compared to those opponents. And, you know, it begs the question, does BYU need to maybe kick the tires on looking at a Group of Five team? Because at least in a Group of Five, you have guaranteed access. And look, I've always been a proponent of being an independent for BYU. I think it's the best route to go. But I do think this is the one avenue where you have to maybe consider it a Group of Five league. I think the AAC, to me, would be the best spot because I think the Mountain West Conference, even though Tom Homel last year talked about how that relationship is better than people give it credit for when they got the Boise State game and San Diego State, but still, I just feel like there is still some old wounds from that league and some sour feelings. I mean, you go to a Mountain West basketball tournament, there's still, you mentioned the letters BYU to those fans, and it just conjures up some anger. Like, it's an unusual deal.
Let me see. So going to the AAC doesn't sound exciting for me, just like listening, knowing what like the schedule this year looks like. But I also know looking at the schedule for BYU in a year like this, they would never get into any sort of version of a playoff because their schedule's too tough. Would Tom Holmo consider saying, hey, we would sign up for that AAC conference. If Boise State were a part of it, I would get on board because Boise State makes it more legitimate. It would bring more eyeballs to that. And the Pac-12 and the Big 12 and the Big 10, you know, obviously they are what they are. The Big 12 that BYU fans are like hanging on weirdly to still, like they're going to be a part of it, is never going to come knocking in the current format. It doesn't matter. Because if you go to the AAC, which I was never a big fan of before, the college football playoff changes that for me. You have something to play for. You have a championship to play for. You have the possibility to go to the college football playoff with an expanded 12 teams if you win that conference. And then you don't have – because the only, you're not going to get in as an auto bid. I mean, unless you go 11-1, and even then. They were 10-1 last year, and they would have been on the outside looking in because they lost that game to Coastal. So I think that a format in this with these 12 teams, just imagine what that would look like. Tom Holmo and BYU, the athletic department, have admitted these have been too tough a schedule.
Yeah,
they've been too tough. You can't have the success. I mean, you have these great games, and then you go 7-5, and the fan base has to go okay. That's kind of nice to go 7-5. We beat USC in overtime, man. Remember that? And then the very next week, you get beat by 35 by Washington. You know, those are the lumps you take with a schedule like this, and it never pays off. It never pays off because you'll lose two of those games.
It's a tricky situation for BYU, and that's going to be fascinating to see, you know, what BYU produces maybe the next 2 years. It would be great for BYU in this 4-team playoff era, because we don't know still when the 12-team playoff era will start. It could start as soon as 2023. The next 2 years, we know it's going to be the 4-team playoff era still. It'd be great if BYU could carve out a 10-11-win season with one of these Power 5-loaded schedules like this year, so we can kind of get a sense of how the committee views BYU when you win a bunch of games against Power 5s, because even that Gary Barta, who's almost like a swear word for BYU fans, he said after last year that BYU's schedule pre-COVID would have been maybe changed the conversation on them a little bit. So it begs the question, like, you know, do you stay the path as an independent and maybe just have that hope, like, hey, if all the pieces fall together and everything comes together for BYU and that magical season happens, would that be enough? Because you're beating 6, 7, 8 Power 5 teams, because BYU has shown they can get Power 5 opponents on the schedule as an independent. So it's a difficult balance that Tom Holmes got to face.
Yeah, 100%. I'd rather see BYU go 11-1 with the schedule they had last year than going 7-5 every year against really good schedules. All right, we'll take the break here. We'll come back. Sam Farnsworth from KSL 5 Television is going to walk in. We're going to chat a little bit about the Jazz's shot in L.A. to possibly sweep this thing. Did I just make a boo-boo and say something I should have? Scott would have divorced me after that. All right, we'll take the break. We'll come back. More to go right here in KSL's Unrivaled. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled, Alex Keery. Mitch Harper sitting in for Scott Mitchell, who's out of town. And Sam Farnsworth just walked into the old studio here, KSL 5 TV's Sam Farnsworth, as we watch the, I don't know, is this a ceremony? Nikola Jokic, gathering the MVP trophy there in Denver. Is he crying? Hey, is he crying? This series is over. I know they're already down 2-0, but you can't cry when you get the MVP trophy.
Booker's dropping a 30-piece on him tonight.
Oh dear.
Oh my goodness. He's talking to the fans about everything, but he said, "Here's my team" and everything. So I just hope you guys can make a series out of this thing.
No kidding.
Can you, Nuggets? Gee. Here's the problem, too. Look, the Jazz are trying to wrap this. Yes. I want this team to go 7.
Yeah.
I want to go into overtime, have the same situation where the Suns have to travel to Utah. Oh, boo-hoo, they got to play the next day. So there's Jokic getting the MVP. He deserved it.
Yeah.
That's an MVP. No doubt. Well-deserved. Yeah. And it's awesome, too, that it's not just like a had the most points in the league type of check the box and just be that like high score in the league. It's cool to see like the game evolve enough to where a guy like Nikola Jokic can have 28 points a game, 27 points a game, 11 rebounds, and 8.5 assists is the wild number on there, right? So it's really cool to see. All right, so that's firing up here in just a few minutes. Sam jumped into the studio and I'm going to play an audio clip for you, and I want to get your thoughts on it because I don't like playing Stephen A. Smith quotes typically on the show. Kind of a rule about
but
it.
But I digress.
That was great.
It's but at the end of the day, right? So, which is exactly where we are. So here's I thought I had it. Maybe it went away. But Stephen A. Smith has made this argument for for Donovan Mitchell, basically, that he's going to be, that he is going to be the greatest Jazz player of all time. Now, he's not there.
No.
Now, Stephen A. Smith made it that he's kind of already there.
Right.
And I'm not a fan of that, but I do think that Donovan Mitchell has a chance to do and is already doing and is already making an impact of greatness in this community. That's what everybody needs to see, is like when he's involved the way he is in Salt Lake with the Utah fan base and scoring at the rate that he is. He's in this elite.
Yes.
When it comes to averages. And so where does he end up? I mean, if you were to make – he's already a top five all-time guy though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah,
You can't just pass up Karl Malone and John Stockton right there. Come on.
No, not even close. Here's the thing, and I don't want to take anything away from what Donovan's done in you know, his four seasons in the NBA, right? But come on. Stockton and Malone have been to two finals. Malone won two MVPs. They are – in the all-time ranks of, you know, points, assists, still, we all know what they've done, right? Donovan's got a ways to go if he's going to be the greatest player in Utah Jazz franchise history, okay? And I think that, you know, you got the recency thing going on, especially with, you know, Donovan's got now four career 40-point playoff games, which ties Karl Malone all-time, right? His 37 points last night was his 13th career 30-point playoff game. Karl Malone had 53 30-point playoff games with the Utah Jazz. He played 171 playoff games. Do the math. We did it. Yeah, because we've been researching this for SportsBeat this week. It's about 33% of Karl Malone's career playoff games with the Jazz is at 30 points or more. You know, Donovan's at about, you know, high 40s percent, right? So what Donovan has done is spectacular. If he maintains this throughout a 10-plus year career with the Utah Jazz, then I can say, okay, let's maybe talk about crowning him the greatest. If he wins a title this year, maybe he jumps to number one already, because he did what Karl Malone and John Stockton, as much as we love him, could not do for the Utah Jazz. And I don't care who you are, if you're a Jazz fan, I think any Jazz fan out there will do anything to see a banner up at Vivint Arena.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I think the one thing, though, I will say, and usually I don't agree with Stephen A. Smith, but like Donovan's kind of got like this superstar aura where his game could translate to any franchise and make him instantly better. Whereas I think the perception with Karl and John back in the day was like, okay, they're great for Utah, the pick and roll with Sloan. Like,
they're great for each other.
Yep, they're a perfect fit with just the Jazz. Like, it works. Like, Karl Malone wants to be in a small market. He's a country guy. Mm-hmm. Whereas Donovan Mitchell's kind of got this, he's got like a bigger-than-life personality. He's got the shoes, the swag. Like,
Hold up. Karl Malone had the catapult.
He had the LA Gears.
LA Gears.
Yeah. The Hardee's deal. Like, I still have that diesel. You know, the Hardee's diesel. But like, I just feel like, you know, Don is kind of like, he could go to any franchise and put them in a position where they could be the top team in a conference.
Karl scored a ton.
Yeah.
But the way that Donovan scores is this, you know, it's a new version of how these points are scored. Five threes in the first half, you know, last night, and then the crazy, like, getting to the rack, man. The way he gets there and like just those long extended arms, and then the pumped up factor, because Karl Malone was a beast, and he's one of the best power forwards, if not the best power forward in the history of the game, and it was just a different style. This is more palatable for us.
You know, and I 100% agree. I agree with both of you on this. Donovan is a superstar. Karl Malone was a superstar, right? But Donovan's a superstar at a level that is transcending, you know, it's going beyond Utah.
Yeah.
It's getting out there to big markets. And it's showing, you know, LeBron was right when he said back at the All-Star game, when we grew up, no one picked Stockton and Malone to play NBA. That's true. Only if you lived in Utah did you, right? But I would say nowadays, you know, with the 2K days, you know, people will pick Donovan.
Yep.
And the numbers, you talk about the sporting events on television last night, the Jazz game had 1 million more viewers than the next NBA game, and it was the most watched sporting event on TV.
It was
last
all
night.
Just the Wasatch Front. It was just like 100%,
the whole
1 million
Wasatch
more
front.
People.
Right.
It's like we had the entire city of West Valley and Provo tuned in just so we could get to those numbers.
People want to see Donovan play. He has captured the eyes and imagination of basketball fans across the country, and they want to see him play.
As we talk about this, you know, this trip down to L.A., Jeremiah Jensen and Ben Anderson from our KSL sports team are going to be down there. I wonder what needs to happen down there? Is it a just split it? If you split this one and you come home and it's 3-1, what's the expectation, do you think? Everybody's already – I've already heard folks talking about the possibility of a sweep. Obviously, it's on the table. Mm-hmm. But what realistically do you think is going to happen with this Jazz team for tomorrow night's game and then I guess it's Monday night's game as well?
I think a split is very realistic for the Jazz on the road to come back 3-1 and then you kind of – you know, break the back, so to speak, in game five on their home floor again and take care of it. I think that's the scenario we're looking at right now is a Jazz in five type thing. Game three tomorrow night, that's, you know, if you can take care of that one, that takes a little bit more pressure off right away. And I said this to you guys on the show, I don't know if it was this week or last, whenever, when I spoke to you guys recently, I just, when I look at this Jazz team, it's hard for me to see a team that's just going to go in kind of unmotivated or unprepared.
They already know what that energy level feels like.
Exactly. Right? And I just don't see that in this team. Even if they have a bad night, it's not going to be because they went in, you know, just kind of lazy, so to speak. You know, they will be prepared. They'll be motivated. There will be energy. They want to get this job done.
I'm looking forward to whatever happens. I mean, this is why the playoffs are so fun because – and I am so on board with what Charles Barkley said this week. He goes, because Shaq was like, the Jazz barely beat the Clippers. And it was like, okay, whatever. And then Charles said, no, I disagree. All these games are on island. All these games are on, these playoff games take on a personality of their own. They're totally different. And
then Shaq goes, stop, Chuck. Right. Stop.
Stop, Chuck.
You better quit it. You better quit it.
No, Quinn said last night.
Four rings.
Right after the game last night, Quinn even said, you know, we haven't done anything yet. We know this Clippers team, they erased a 2-0 deficit last round.
Yeah.
So they already immediately have flipped that switch knowing, hey, we're not even close to taking care of business.
Ernie.
What's going on tonight real quick here, Sam, on the KSL5 television at 10 o'clock?
Yeah,
some
we'll
sports
be,
beat, baby.
Yeah, we'll be hearing more on the Jazz. Quinn had some high praise for the way Boyan's been playing defense lately. We'll hear that. Coming up tonight, we'll have these NBA highlights. And Salt Lake Community College soccer team, they won a national title. It's pretty cool. So we'll throw them some love as well.
All right. We'll come right back. NFL Roundup is next. And we've got we've got a weekend. What are the odds?
Yeah.
Oh, we're going into the weekend, man. All right. We'll come back. More to go right here on KSL News Radio. It's KSL's Unrivaled.
KSL's Unrivaled, the teams you live for, the sports you love. Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on KSL News Radio.
All right, everybody, welcome back. It is KSL's Unrivaled. Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell. Scott Mitchell, congratulations. Scott became a grandpa today for the very first time. So congratulations to Scott Mitchell. Went out to visit his daughter who had his first grandbaby, and everything went well. Mom and baby are good. And I asked Scott the very important question. Mitch Harper, by the way, from Cougar Sports Saturday, and also covers BYU with a dang blanket, a fire blanket, on KSLSports.com. I asked Scott, this is an important deal. If you know Scott at all, who cried more, the baby, the newborn baby or Scott? Because Scott is he's a crier. And he didn't respond. He didn't feel like that was necessary to respond. I think that was the right answer. Is if you're not gonna respond, then I know you probably cried.
Yes, so. Scott was definitely the crier. I could tell in his words that he penned for the passing of Jim Fossil. I can tell Scott is a soft guy, like big guy, but he has got a soft heart. He was probably very emotional seeing his grandchild born.
He is an emotional dude. So without further ado, before we get into the weekends, we always like to do our weekend what are the odds. So without further ado, this is one that you can play right at home in your car, the take-home edition of what are the odds right here.
What are the odds? You'll know exactly, more or less, what's going to happen, probably. What are the odds?
Simple game. Mitch and I will roll out scenarios, a.k.a. scenarios that might be. It's trying to predict the future, but with some percentage of possibility, 0 to 100, that thing will or will not happen. Bonus points if you can name off a jersey from any professional sport or even amateurs. You know, I'm okay with it.
Okay. Look,
if you can pull up a college kid with that jersey that we remember, then that also is bonus points for you. So, Mitch, are you ready for this?
I am ready.
We'll just alternate here. We have a little list in front of us. I'm going to go straight to a one that we already talked about a little bit, is BYU and the possibility of them. And you said, hey, this is the time to join a conference. With the college football playoff expanding, the way that you know you're going to get in is being the best G5 team in the country. And the way to do that is soften up the schedule a little bit, get into a conference that you can actually win, play for something. So what are the odds that BYU joins the G5 conference in the next 3 years?
Ooh, 3 years. That's interesting, Alex. I would say, gosh, I will go, I'm trying to think of a jersey number. And let's see here. I would say for BYU joining a Group of Five conference, I'd go 20%.
Oh.
20% that they'd actually join, and the jersey.
Who's a 20 from BYU?
There's not many great 20s.
No.
Nothing's ringing a bell right now, but I would say 20% just because I think BYU is still kind of fixated on being an independent. I think rightfully so, because they're locked into their schedules, one. And if they don't go to a Power 5 conference, they got to pay a lot of fees to get out of some of these games. But I feel like they could be one of the only teams in college football, them and Army, that has no access to this playoff, where everyone else, even Utah State, will be able to look their team in the eye and say, guys, if we win this conference, we're going to have a shot to go to the playoff. And for BYU, that's just kind of this mythical thing. Like, we think that if an 11-1 season with a loaded Power 5 teams on the schedule, that the committee will like us. I mean, I didn't get any sense from this past year that the committee looks at BYU's brand in any sort of way similar to that of Power 5 teams. And it's just difficult because we know that the money is going to be enhanced in this 12-team playoff era when it gets cleared out, and it's going to be tough. So I would still say 20% slow, but BYU's got to look at that avenue now.
I'm going to go 3 years is quick. But I mean, like, they got to pull the trigger on it if they're going to do it. Because waiting 5 years or waiting for that TV deal to get done, all those TV deals to get done, and then not being invited to that dance again is going to be embarrassing. I think you just preempt it and join it and follow Boise. I'm going to give it a let me see here. I'll give it a Jamal Williams 21%.
Okay.
If you're going to go
okay.
I mean, it doesn't have to be a BYU guy. You could have said Barry Sanders. It doesn't matter what sport it's in. You can if the 20 floats your boat with Barry Sanders, you're going to do it. Okay. What do you have for me? You want to roll one out here for me? Let's see what I'll do this one.
Okay.
What are the odds that Jazz actually sweep the Clippers? We were talking about, first of all, this is bad juju even talking about it. But the Jazz sweeping the Clippers, going to LA and kicking them while they're down, because being up 0-2 is something that doesn't happen for the Jazz very often. But when they do it, they win those series. What are the odds they sweep the Clippers, though?
I'm going to say 35%. I think that's Carlos Arroyo.
Oh, wow.
From Jazz fame, Carlos Arroyo, 35%. I'm going to go with that. I think that this Jazz team, they've weathered a lot of storms in this playoffs already, where they've let go of some big leads. But this Clippers team, I have no faith in any of these stars. I mean, these guys, Kawhi Leonard, solid, but I've always questioned his lack of verbal leadership skills. And that's why I think it's shown with the Clippers that they haven't been this great team that everyone assumed they would be. And Paul George, you just know he's going to have
a bad game,
bad shooting performances every single day.
I love when he shoots a three. I just, you can tell, you're like, that's not going in. I'm going to go with 11%. I'm going to go with a Dante Exum, 11%. Okay. And I use Dante Exum as an example because he was perpetually injured. Hamstrings, all of it. I'm throwing it out there. I want Mike Conley to get better. I don't know if he's going to be. It's a good thing that they won those first two games, because now you have that luxury of going, hey, man, maybe we keep you out for game three as well. I don't know how long it's going to be out. But.
Well, and Exum can be thanked, too, for helping this team be what it is today, with Jordan Clarkson being the sixth man of the year. Clarkson's been fantastic. Yeah. So I just don't think the Jazz are going to be scared of facing the Clippers in L.A. They still have their limitations with the crowd. It's not going to be anything like the Viv in terms of atmosphere and crowd and hostile, fans and things like
Staples
that.
Staples Center's what? They're doing like 7,500 or something like that, or 6,200?
They still got the cardboard cutouts.
They have cardboard cutouts.
In the lower bowl. So
no,
it's not going to be anything intimidating for the Jazz. They could pull off a sweep. It's not out of the realm of possibility. 35%.
Mike Conley playing in game three, since we're talking about it. Like I said, I think that percentage went went down a lot when they won that game two, because then they went, okay, really look at it. We're not going to push this thing, and they're definitely not going to. I'm just going to throw it out. Well, I'll go with them. Now I want to go a little higher. George Niang, 31%.
Okay.
Or as they say on TV, like on TNT, George Niang. George Niang, right? So George Niang, 31%.
I'll go with 44, Adam Keith.
Okay. What are you doing?
I'll go with some old school ones, man. Some old school jazz cuts. 44% Adam Keith.
Okay. Now, we talked about this off the air, but BYU always rolls something out on Media Day, something juicy at the top. It used to be like a nice schedule ad or something with a big team when they retired the jerseys, I think, of Robbie Bosco, yeah, Luke Staley, and Mark Wilson all at the same time. That was an announcement they made. What are the odds they make another major announcement that actually moves the needle? Not a fake major announcement, but a real major announcement from BYU.
Yeah, I think in terms of moving the needle, I'd put it low. I would say probably, gosh, let's say 12% Steve Sarkisian. We'll go with something like that. But as far as like an announcement, they'll have something. I would say like an 89% chance, a Chad Lewis, that they have an actual announcement that has an impact on BYU football. But I don't expect anything major, like a scheduling announcement or renovations to the stadium. They are going to have a scoreboard upgrade this fall. But
yeah, they moved my kids' season tickets, man.
They did?
Yeah, because of the
scoreboard.
Yeah, scoreboard's in the way.
Wow.
The construction. The construction we got moved without even knowing about it.
That's a bummer. There you
go. Yeah, well, my kids don't care. They got moved down closer.
That's good.
All right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the break. When we come back, we've got our two-minute drill. We're just wrapping up this whole thing. When we come back, I still want to think about those. What number was Matt Barry? Was he a three? Was Matt Barry
number eight?
Oh, he was eight.
The last number eight before Steve Young got his number retired.
Boy, what did go out on a Matt Barry?
Matt Barry.
See, I only remember Matt because I was at school during all that, and I played against him in high school. So it was the connection was there. I wish you'd have been as good at BYU as it was in high school. All right, taking the break. We'll come back. Mitch Harper and I wrapping things up on a Friday. Stay with us on KSL News. The program was recorded this very afternoon, and you're the first person to hear it. Congratulations. All right, it's Friday night. Welcome back. It's KSL's Unrivaled. Final show of the week. Scott Mitchell gone for the weekend as he's going to attend to his new grandbaby out on the East Coast. Congratulations to him and his daughter and her husband, because that's a cool thing. Never, he sent me a picture. And newborns, you know, Mitch, it's like you get a picture of a newborn, you go, okay, seen them all. Seen them all, but it never ceases to amaze me to go, it's amazing that it can happen.
It's so true.
What do you have, three kids?
Three kids.
Yeah.
All pretty young still, 7, 6, and 4.
Yeah, when they're born, you go, man, this is, I cannot believe that this is a thing.
It's always surreal. It's
weird.
Crazy.
So congrats to Scott, and it's surreal for him too. I go, does it make you feel old? He's like, no, everything else makes me feel old. This is like fun.
Seeing kids dance and do the TikTok dance is probably makes Scott feel old, not the birth of his grandchild.
You know what I hate is the let's go. Everyone does it now.
Yes.
Like my kid is so annoying.
And how do kids? They all know the same popular things. Is it because of YouTube? Like
yeah,
all
it
the
has
kids.
To be.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm watching the Bucks game last night. And when they made that final stop on defense, they showed the crowd, and there's like a 16-year-old, and he's like, let's go! And I was like, what?
I've heard my son
my kids
say
baseball
that.
Baseball team,
yes.
All everybody. It doesn't matter.
Let's Holy
go!
Cow.
It's not let's go, like, hey, let's go, everybody. It's let's go! Like,
it's like Bart Scott, can't wait, let's go!
I get so mad. I don't get mad. I just go, I guess we had our thing, you know. I guess we did our
dang algorithms.
But to
throwing our kids.
But to see everybody just basically acting like Dude Perfect because they watch all the stinking videos on YouTube is so annoying. Final segment of the show. You know what we do here with the old 2-minute drill? We roll out some NFL music. And normally Scott describes what a 2-minute drill is. I'm interested to see what Mitch's description of a 2-minute drill is. Go ahead, Mitch. What's a 2-minute drill? Why do we do it at the end of the show?
A bunch of stories. We got to go quick because we're up against the clock. We got to get out of here for the rest of the weekend.
Look at that. There it is. and we go home happy, usually, Scott says, and we can get a free donut from Krispy Kreme if you get your vaccine. First up, do those interest you, these viewing parties? Vivint's going to host another viewing parties for games 3 and 4 that are in L.A. Does that interest you? Like, I want to go to the stadium and watch it on the big screen.
It doesn't do anything for me, but it's kind of like nostalgic because it just reminds me of the old NBA Finals when the Jazz were in those in 97 and 98. But as far as just like a fan and a viewing experience, just let me be at home on my big screen TV and watch it that way. But, you know, I think that there is something special in these big stages to have that, experience and share these moments with some of these diehard fans. So that's kind of exciting. But for me, I'd rather
free?
Just be home.
Are these free?
Yeah, that's what it says.
But they have the concessions are open.
Yes, concessions in the Jazz store and all that right. stuff.
When I buy 6 J-Dogs, then it's the same as buying a ticket. It's the same. Maybe I'll take my kid and go, this is as close to being in the arena during the playoffs as you're going to get.
That's a good point.
Because the tickets in the nosebleeds have gotten now to about $120 for, and the conference finals are going to get even more crazy. So maybe I'll pitch it as a thing. If they put T-shirts on the chairs, then we'd definitely be in.
Yes,
but I don't know if they're going to spend that kind of dough. Definitely will not. All right, next up on the 2-minute drill. Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I don't think Robert Horry was right in his estimation that Hakeem Olajuwon was better than Shaquille O'Neal. Now, here's how he put it. I loved Hakeem Olajuwon. He was one of those guys that I was like, can't hate that guy.
Yeah.
I can hate Shaq because of his antics, but Hakeem Olajuwon.
You can still hate Shaq to this day because what he does on TNT.
What is Hakeem's history? I mean, where does he land on the great centers? Because we don't have centers like that anymore.
Either.
No. We don't play him like that.
You got Kareem. You got Bill Russell, Shaq, and Hakeem. Top four, top five, guaranteed. I think it stops. I mean, those are the top four to me.
Because those guys were all 28 points a game.
Yeah,
29 points a game. They were.
Maybe Jokic, if he keeps going the way he's at, maybe.
And it would be a totally different.
Yeah,
you wouldn't look at him the same way. You'd be like, yeah, a stretch four, basically.
Yeah, it's a totally different game. Like in the old era, like yes, I would put Hakeem in that top four with Kareem, Bill Russell, and Shaq. But to me, Shaq's career has more kind of defining moments, whereas Hakeem, you know, those 2 years with the Rockets, 94 and 95, where they won the back-to-back titles, but turnaround baseline shot, he was always great at that, but Shaq, to me, I'd put him just a tick higher than Hakeem.
I would, too. We have Tebow Watch. We've been doing Tebow Watch all ever since Urban yes. Meyer brought his Bible study pal with him to Jacksonville. We've been trying to figure out what Tebow is about. And the first assessment from Urban Meyer is he's doing quote unquote decent. I don't know if that's what you want to hear in an OTA or a minicamp. You want to hear he's lighting it up. It's like he's 19 again. None of that has happened so far. At 33 years of age and 10 years in, I haven't gotten your thoughts on Tim Tebow yet, Mitch. But the shaking of the head must be the indicator that this is not going to go well for this guy.
I mean, when you're classifying it in an OTA as a player that you stuck your neck out on the line and said decent,
doing decent,
that's grounds to get cut right now. Like, just cut him. Like, move on from the charade. Because
I told Scott he's not going to make even the 75.
No.
I don't think he makes even the 75.
He's not sniffing the 53-man roster at all. There's no chance this is happening. This was just all a stunt. That's why it raises some questions with Urban in the NFL.
What are you doing?
Yeah. He turned too much to just college guys. Like, it's a different game. I know that it's morphing more to their similarities with offense and the styles of play with college and the NFL, but still, like, the personnel, the people that run these NFL teams, it's just a different game than college football, and I feel like Urban took too much of a collegiate approach so far, and this Tim Tebow stunt, I feel like it is a stunt, and he's not a guy that warrants ticket sales either. Like, Trevor Lawrence is the guy that's going to get you ticket sales. Like, come on, Tim Tebow being decent in an OTA, that's grounds to get cut, in my opinion.
Just look, you did decent. He's reading that too and going, hey, honey, I don't think this is going to work out. What other sport could we do? Now, I did read about how Hi-Li is making this massive comeback in South Florida. Maybe that could be a thing. He's a Floridian, so he could be. And it's all professional athletes. And I don't know if you've seen it. They throw that wooden ball with the hook, and it goes like 200 miles an hour. You can't get me near that thing at all. All right. Next up on the old 2-minute drill here. Hey, Arch Manning, where's he going to end up? Because he went on his visit to Clemson. Everybody saw that viral throw that he made. And I'll admit, I'm intrigued. he might be and I'm glad for Cooper, his dad, because he had a shot and he got injuries and all those things, but now to have a son who may be as big of a recruit since a Peyton Manning, where do you go? When dad went to Ole Miss, older brother went to Ole Miss, uncle went to Ole Miss, grandpa went to Ole Miss, and then your other uncle goes to Tennessee. Where do you go? Dad went to Ole Miss, too.
Yeah, I think he's going to end up at Alabama now that Saban got that contract extension. He's kind of put it out there into the universe like, hey, I'm going to be here till 2029 or whatever. So, yeah, he could coach Arch Manning for his entire career if Saban wanted to. I think he ends up at Bama. Oddly enough, though, it's like Alabama, Clemson, and then SMU are like some of his top teams that he's interested in. I guess he's got some connection to Sonny Dykes, the former Cal coach, but I'd say Alabama's where Arch Manning, which is crazy to think that even out here in Utah, we're talking about a kid like Arch Manning. That's how big of a story he's going to end up being in the football world.
Arch Manning out of Newman Prep. Yeah. You see, we've had to see those Newman Prep
all
green
the
jerseys forever. For years. Mitch, you have fun tonight?
Had a great time as always, Alex. It's good to see you again, man.
Yes, it's good to see you back in studio together and vaccinated. And then tomorrow you're going to come back and do Cougar
right.
Sports Saturday again. Noon to 3 right here on KSL News Radio. We'll get the full breakdown from Mitch and Matt Biamonte giving you their thoughts on what the college football playoff landscape looks like for BYU into the future and much, much more. So for Mitch Harper, I'm Alex Keery. We'll see you next time, everybody.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.